The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Immunity Armor Gold is the most advanced immunity-boosting formula you can get in one product. Go to ImmunityArmorGold.com and use the promo code TOD10 to get 10% off. That's ImmunityArmorGold.com, promo code TOD10.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, what a crazy day in America. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good to have you with us today. I am Todd Starnes, your host, and we are broadcasting from our Liberty University studios. And, wow, where do we begin? We're going to get to the dumpster fire that is Joe Biden in just a few moments. I want to start out with this crazy story out of New Mexico involving Alec Baldwin, probably one of the more despicable human beings on the face of the earth. Not the most, because Michael Moore is still among us, but one of the most despicable people on the planet. I mean, this guy is ruthless. He is nasty. He hates conservatives. He hates freedom. And he wants to take away the Second Amendment. He wants to literally abolish the Second Amendment. I mean, this is one nasty guy. Remember, he was the guy that called his little daughter a pig. Remember that in the voicemail that was leaked years ago? I mean, this guy is just mean. Just mean. So anyway, you now know the story. Alec Baldwin, on the set of a brand new movie that's filming out of New Mexico. I believe it's a Western called Rust. And they give him a gun, which they said is a prop gun, and it turns out the gun was loaded. So there are so many questions, and I know the investigation is still going on and it's underway. But anyway, Alec Baldwin's got this prop gun, and he aims it at the cinematographer, some lady in her 40s, Helena Hutchins, who is a wife and a mother. She was killed. She got shot in the stomach, and then he shoots the director in the shoulder. So the director's in the hospital, and she died. So anyway, Baldwin just released a statement. I want to read this to you, and I have some thoughts about this, because a lot of people are wondering, should Alec Baldwin be arrested? Should he be charged with a crime here? And we're going to open up the phone lines on this, because a lot of people say this guy ought to be charged with a crime. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, toll-free number, we're picking up the dime on that, so you don't have to spend any money. That comes out of Grace's pocket. Alec Baldwin, posting a statement just a few moments ago, I want to read this to you. There are no words to convey my shock and sadness regarding the tragic accident that took the life of Helena Hutchins, a wife, mother, and deeply admired colleague of ours. I'm fully cooperating with the police investigation to address how this tragedy occurred, and I am in touch with her husband, offering my support to him and his family. Can you imagine that conversation? I can't even begin. Unbelievable. My heart is broken for her husband, their son, and all who knew and loved Helena. According to the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office, Baldwin fired a prop gun during the filming of the Western. They say Baldwin was questioned by investigators late Thursday and was seen by a reporter and photographer in tears. Well, I can imagine so. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, this was a tragedy. But I've got a couple of questions here, because this guy has been a fierce opponent of the Second Amendment. As a matter of fact, Alec Baldwin wanted to abolish the Second Amendment. He joined an effort by Hollywood. Bless you, Grace Baker. He joined an effort by Hollywood to abolish the Second Amendment, to get rid of it. They wanted to disarm everybody. This guy hates guns. So I have a question. Why was he starring in a movie that featured guns? Well, Todd, it was a Western. The Westerns have to have guns. You know, the cowboys shoot the Indians. Whoop, whoop. That's a little culturally inappropriate. Well, yes, that's true, but Baldwin knew that going in, and if the guy is so against guns, why would he accept a job where part of the job in the movie was to hold firearms and to utilize those firearms? I got a problem with that. Now, when you look, and I'm sure there is video of this, and it has not surfaced yet, but I have no doubt it is, and I have no doubt that the guy is distraught. I have no doubt about that. But the irony is that Alec Baldwin was actually working on a Western film that involved the use of firearms that he believes you, the average American, should not possess. That, ladies and gentlemen, is called a double standard. That, ladies and gentlemen, is called hypocrisy. Now, he also called for the abolishment of the National Rifle Association. Really, all I can say is that maybe, just maybe, Alec Baldwin should have called up the National Rifle Association before going out to the movie set and taking a gun safety course. The NRA, they host these classes all over the country, and I'm sure they would have made room for Mr. Baldwin. But in 2017, there was a horrible incident in California. It was a police officer-involved shooting, Huntington Beach, I believe. And so Alec Baldwin took to Twitter, as he is oft to do, and here's what he wrote. "I wonder how it must feel to wrongfully kill someone." That's what he wrote. Unfortunately, now he knows the answer to that question, and it's a terrible thing. Now, I don't know if they're going to charge. I'm just going to step out for a moment. And as ruthless and as mean-spirited as this guy is, I'm just going to assume, for the sake of our conversation, that what happened was an accident. But my question is, why was there a loaded gun on that set? Where was the prop master? Clearly, there was somebody there on the movie set who was responsible for making sure that there were no live rounds in any of the weapons that were being used, right? One would think so. But what a horrible story that is. But Alec Baldwin, and there are photographs, and you've probably seen the photographs, Alec Baldwin, bent over, weeping at what had happened. It's a terrible story. Terrible story. The question is, could it have been prevented? That's the question. It's not the first time something like this has happened, Grace Baker. You know, there have been other instances in Hollywood where actors have been killed on the movie set because there was a loaded weapon instead of blanks. And I'm thinking about Brandon Lee, who was the son of Bruce Lee. There was a movie back in the 90s. This was a hugely popular movie, and you guys might remember this, called The Crow. And there was a scene where Brandon Lee's character had a .44 Magnum, walked into the room, and the prop gun, which was actually a real revolver, was loaded with improperly made dummy rounds and got shot and died. I mean, it's a sad thing. There was another back in the, when was this? A long time ago. There was a guy named John Eric Hexum, and I'm trying to the modern day equivalent would probably be, and this may be a bad example, The Rock. So this is back in the 1980s. Grace, you were not even a thought back then.
You were not just a twinkle in my mother's eye.
No, you were not. So anyway, John Eric Hexum was like a hugely popular movie star. He was like one of the big muscle-bound guys. He was like a heartthrob to millions of women across America. And anyway, they were on the set of a movie, and He was killed. Wikipedia actually does a pretty good job of recounting the events there. He was shot in the head during filming and ended up dying. It's terrible. Just a horrible tragedy. So these things do happen. But man, there are people out there on Twitter saying that Alec Baldwin needs to be arrested at the very least for manslaughter and hauled off to the jail there in New Mexico. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, we are also wrapping up our next to the last week of fundraising for Alliance Defending Freedom, our radiothon, month-long radiothon, about to conclude. You guys have just done a remarkable job. Many of you have just, you have been so generous with your money, and we want to remind you that today, any of our listeners who donate $1,000 to Alliance Defending Freedom, you are going to receive a special one-of-a-kind Todd Starn Show bomber jacket, one of those leather bomber jackets. You're also going to get an entire library of my books, plus an exclusive Zoom call with me and your church group or book club or political group. And we would love to hook you up with that. But all you need to do is make a donation right now, $1,000, and that gets you the bomber jacket, the Zoom call, and the Todd Starn Show library. You can donate at toddstarns.com. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. You don't have $1,000? I bet you have $5. Bet you have $10. Every bit helps as we raise money for the Freedom Fund for Alliance Defending Freedom. Your calls coming up next. We'll be right back.
Now is your chance to enter to win one of six signed photos of President Trump. These were hand-signed by the president, and soon one could be hanging in your house. When President Trump signed these photos, he wanted to make sure all his supporters had the chance to get one. And now is your chance. All you have to do is text PHOTO to 55404 today for your chance to win a beautiful photo of President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, hand-signed by President Trump himself, by texting PHOTO to 55404 right now. You'll get an exclusive double entry activated by my team for a limited time. Again, text PHOTO to 55404 to have your name entered twice to win a hand-signed Trump photo. You don't want to miss this opportunity, folks. Our contest ends soon, paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
All right, so look, we may have some folks in the audience who do not own guns, they've never used a gun. Here's the number one rule you need to understand when dealing with a firearm. You should always assume the gun is loaded. Always assume. It doesn't matter if it's a BB gun, a Nerf gun, I don't care. Always assume the gun is loaded. That's why you keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. You never point the gun at somebody unless you're going to shoot them. So clearly, Alec Baldwin had never been to an NRA gun safety class. Otherwise, he would have known all of this. Well, let's go to the phones. Alani, you want to weigh in on this. And the question is, should this guy be charged? 844-747-8868. I want to go to Jackie in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hey, Jackie, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. What's up with you?
All right, Jackie, what's on your mind?
Okay. I just want to ask, what was he doing pointing a gun at a person that wasn't even in the movie?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we're talking the person who was killed, she was shot in the stomach. She was the cinematographer, and then the director of the movie got we don't know the context of what was going on. Were they filming a scene? Were the was the director, was the cinematographer, were they in the line of sight, you know, of Alec Baldwin? We don't know. We don't know what was going on when it actually happened.
I mean, it don't really matter, you know, who or where it was. You didn't need to be aiming the gun.
That's right.
But
you do not aim it.
No, you know, I mean, I've been brought around guns all my life, and my son, he's been with guns all his life, and I just don't understand why people are so, you know, hazardly with guns. I don't understand that, but I mean, I am for guns. I, you know, for the Second Amendment, I'm, you know, I'm fully aware of what's going on with it, but I just don't understand. That's a question that I'd asked as far as what would you do in pointing the gun at a person that wasn't even involved in the movie.
You see, Jackie, and this is the problem. Most of the people in Hollywood know nothing about guns other than what they see in the movies, which is not a realistic portrayal. When you're looking at an organization like NRA or the Constitution coach, our good friend Rick Green, in November, we're going to be out in the desert doing gun training with a lot of our listeners. And there is this is all about safety, safety first. But these guys in Hollywood, they think that all of the gun owners in America are just running around shooting their firearms off as they're driving their pickup trucks down the road. It's just not true.
No, and people in out toward California, and I'm not saying everybody from California, but the left side of the political view is they're not the brightest folks on earth.
No, they're not. I think it's all the granola. Too much granola and kale in the diet, Jackie. That's what I think is going on.
That's true, and I heard a preacher a long time ago say the reason that people is having more heart attacks nowadays than it was when our grandparents were growing up, that, you know, they was, you know, eating lard and the butter and all that, so everything just kind of smoothly went out. But now you're filling your system with sticks and twigs, and now everything gets stopped up.
Oh, my God. Thank you for that graphic description, Jackie. Oh, jeez,
a load. You're welcome.
All right. Welcome to the lunch hour, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to Grace. You know, Jackie raises a good point about the diet. You know, it's kind of like a beaver, you know, when they want to dam something up, they get the berries and the twigs and they,
I like kale chips, unpopular opinion.
All right. I'm not judging. I will not judge.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate the non-judgment.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to, you're about to go on vacation. let's go to Steve, Morehead City, North Carolina. All right, Steve, what do you want to say?
I really believe that Alex got framed, and I'll tell you why. Here's a guy that is so passionate about taking away our Second Amendment right, and yet then he turns around and he makes a movie where he's going to be using guns. Now, I call that hypocrisy. So he's going to trade his principle. He's going to trade his principles for money. Well, that, to me, that's pretty piss poor. And what y'all said earlier is exactly true, is you never point a gun at somebody unless you intend harm. You never, ever assume that gun is not loaded. You have it checked. That's why I think he was framed. I think he changed colors and decided to do this movie, and I think somebody got really ticked off. Somebody close enough where they could put a live round in there. I think somebody set him up.
Well,
because they were really ticked off.
Somebody dropped the ball somewhere. And again, my question would be, why were they using live rounds on the set of a movie? That makes absolutely no sense to me. And so whoever...
Well, the assumption was that they weren't live. They were supposed to be dummy rounds, but there were three in there. But one of them was a live round. And so there were several mistakes made. That should have never happened. The gun should have been checked before it was ever brought on stage or brought to him. And he certainly should not have pointed it at somebody. I don't think he did this with any sort of ill intent.
No, I don't either. I don't either. Steve, I think the issue for me is the hypocrisy of it all and the double standards. And, Steve, we're going to have to skedaddle because we're coming up against a break here. Thanks for the call. Steve maybe Alec Baldwin was set up here. I don't know. But it seems to me that somebody is going to have to answer for this, whether it is the prop master, the person in charge of handling the weapons. Somebody has some explaining to do about what happened. All right, look, coming up after the bottom of the hour news break here, we are going to jump into this town hall last night where Joe Biden was. Did he suffer some sort of a medical incident where his hands were just frozen, like he was out for skiing? Like that's exactly. I mean, it was like a robotic move. I've never seen anything like that. Biden says, all of you first responders out there, you deserve to get fired if you do not get the jab. So they've gone from heroes to zeros in the Biden administration. 844-747-8868.
That's 844-747-8868. Did you watch the town hall? We'll be right back. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Now is your chance to enter to win one of six signed photos of President Trump. These were hand-signed by the president, and soon one could be hanging in your house. When President Trump signed these photos, he wanted to make sure all his supporters had the chance to get one. And now is your chance. All you have to do is text PHOTO to 55404 today for your chance to win a beautiful photo of President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, hand-signed by President Trump himself, by texting PHOTO to 55404 right now. You'll get an exclusive double entry activated by my team for a limited time. Again, text PHOTO to 55404 to have your name entered twice to win a hand-signed Trump photo. You don't want to miss this opportunity, folks. Our contest ends soon, paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Hope things are going well as we broadcast from our studios here at Liberty University. All right. Well, let's get right to it. Interesting story. By the way, I've got to share this with you. This is fascinating. To the last caller, we had a caller and said, oh, this may be a conspiracy theory. So the leftist on Twitter, the blue checkmark leftist, this was sent to us by our Liberty University student worker, Charlotte. Some guy named Johans says that this might be a conspiracy, that Alec Baldwin was set up. And I'm going to read this. These people are nuts. Might the prop gun have been secretly loaded with real bullets by a Trump supporter to punish Alec Baldwin for his Trump parodies? Should be a line of inquiry. Why is it only MAGA types that vehemently dismiss this as one of the possible causes? Too close to the bone? By the way, I do hope it was just an accident, but it's America after all. Okay. All right, enough of you. That guy's got the little tinfoil hat on. All right, can we talk about what happened? Speaking of tinfoil hats, can we talk about what happened yesterday? CNN's town hall. First of all, that was not a bipartisan town hall. I don't care what they said. It was a room full of Democrats, and they were having a love fest with this guy. CNN was lobbing softballs all night long. And at one point, actually gave Biden a helping hand. Cut number nine, please.
With 40% of all products coming into the United States of America on the West Coast go through Los Angeles what am I doing here?
Is it Long Beach?
Long Beach. Thank you.
What am I doing here? What am I doing? You know, we ask that question all the time. What are you doing there? He looked completely clueless, and there was this one moment, and we had the video on our website where Anderson Cooper was talking, and Biden he stops and lurches a little bit, and then he puts his hands out, and both hands were in fist. Now, there is I was doing some Google research last night on this, and it turns out there is something to what Biden was doing. They say it's a memory technique that when you're trying to remember something, you jut your hands out like you're about to go, skiing down the side of a hill, and it somehow brings back to memory things you might have forgotten. So, or he was just suffering some sort of a mental lapse and didn't know what the heck he was doing. But anyway, Biden was off his rocker yesterday, all over the place. So much so, the White House had to keep issuing clarifications and corrections every time Biden came out to say something. Now, one of the things that I found interesting is that Biden actually defended this idea of getting rid of first responders who do not get the jab. He says those people need to be fired. That's what Biden said. Cut number one, please.
As many as one in three emergency responders in some cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, right here in Baltimore, are refusing to comply with city vaccine mandates. I'm wondering where you stand on that. Should police officers, emergency responders, be mandated to get vaccines? And if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes. By the way, I waited until July to talk about mandating because I tried everything else possible. The mandates are working. All the stuff about people leaving and people getting it, you have everyone from United Airlines to Spirit, all these airlines that we're not going to get. All 96, 97% of the people have gotten the vaccine. All the talk about all these folks who are going to leave the military if they're mandated. Not true. You got about a 90-some percent vaccination rate. I mean, so there's the idea is that, look, the two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on. Freedom. Number one. Number two, the second one is that, you know, the gross misinformation that's out there.
Did you hear the way this man mocked freedom? Freedom? I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. Well, really? Because according to the data, according to the science, these days, the vaccinated are more likely to give you COVID than someone who does not have the vaccine. So what does that say? The way they treat freedom with such mockery, that's a problem. You need to pay very close attention to what's going on here, folks, because they do not cherish freedom. They have demonstrated over the past almost year that they want to take away your freedom. And I'm telling you, this is a dumpster fire. A dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire!
Anyway, Anderson Cooper was more than happy to help him out. Like when the Long Beach, the port of Long Beach, Biden forgot the name of the port. But there's another great scene, and this was more visual, but I'll tell you what happened. So Biden got a black congressman confused with the black mayor. If that had been Donald Trump, it would have been all over the news, and he would have been smeared as a racist. But Biden clearly did not know what he was doing or where he was. Cut number 10.
What am I doing here?
Again, a dumpster fire. Anyway, here's 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones here. Janice in New Orleans.
Yes, how you doing, Todd?
I'm well. Janice, what's on your mind?
All right, let me explain something here to you. Without going into great detail, last December at my home, we had a very unexpected thing that happened, and I found myself having to call 911. Well, I had these people, they pulled up in front of the house, they're coming in the house and everything. Now, I felt a little uncomfortable. I put my mask on and everything, but who comes in contact with people, of course, doctors and nurses, of course, but who comes in contact with people more than your EMTs and these kind of people? They're going into people's homes and everything, and I feel that for their safety and the safety of others, they should get vaccinated. If my husband was an EMT worker coming in close contact with other individuals or going into people's houses and everything, coming back to me, yeah, I'd want him to have the vaccine. I really would.
But Janice, let's think about this logically. So,
well, I am.
more people have died this year. So this is the year of the vaccine. More people have died since the vaccine was introduced than the first year of the pandemic. All of those medical workers, and the argument is that the medical workers are going to give other people the China virus.
They could.
But Janice.
Yes, they can. They
it
can
never
it
happened.
Themselves.
It never happened. We went an entire year, the first year of the pandemic. Well, all of these doctors, nurses, nobody was vaccinated. And there was no outbreak. Janice, please excuse me. There was no outbreak of the China virus in hospitals. Just like, and I know the mainstream media loves to ignore this, you have had hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans over the past 6 weeks piled into football stadiums, butt cheek to butt cheek. And Janice, there has not been a massive outbreak of the China virus.
Well, let me explain something. There are people,
I just explained
too,
it.
There are people, too, that claim, oh, it doesn't really affect children. A 15-year-old is dead, a 6-year-old is dead, a 2-year-old is on a ventilator. Look, this is a very serious matter, and I am for taking the precautions. I don't feel the people should be piled.
How many years, Janice? I've been asking this question now for almost 2 years. How many years are we supposed to live in fear of this?
I don't know, Todd. I hope and pray to God that this will eventually dissipate, because I will be honest with you. I don't want to have to live the rest of my life this way. But by the same token, people need to do what they need to do to stay safe and to keep their families safe. I saw two cases of parents where the mom and dad both died, leaving in each family 4 children. So that's 8 orphans right there. And I'm sure there's more that I don't know about. And when I'm looking at a 6-year-old boy, a 6-year-old beautiful child, and to know that he's dead, that breaks my heart.
It's terrible. It's tragic,
yes,
Janice.
It
but
is.
The reality is, it is not the norm. Those are anomalies. And by and large, overwhelmingly, Janice, you're going to let me speak. This is my show.
I understand.
You're going to let me speak here for
yes,
a moment.
Sir.
This, by and large, children, if they get the virus, they recover from the virus. Do all of them? No. But a minuscule number, minuscule number. Janice, the government is pulling a fast one on all of us. And we know that. And Janice, all right, we're going to have to let you go because we're running short on time here. But the reality is this. The virus is not spreading as fast as the government is telling you. And quite frankly, I don't think it's as contagious as the government is telling us. And I will base that argument on this one fact. Look at all the football stadiums. They have been packed butt cheek to butt cheek from coast to coast across the country. And we have not had any super spreader events. As a matter of fact, the only super spreader events have happened at gatherings of Democrats. Barack Hussein Obama's birthday party, for example. But not at the football games, not at the stadiums. What does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? Look, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Folks, I don't know about you, but Newsmax is my go-to place for news and information, especially Newsmax.com. I also have Newsmax TV at home. And I also have it on my telephone, thanks to the free Newsmax app. And I even get the Newsmax magazine. That's right. Newsmax has a monthly magazine. Writers like Dr. Laura, Ben Stein, Bill O'Reilly. Now, the media is not going to tell you about Biden's radical agenda, but Newsmax will. Newsmax has over 700,000 monthly readers, and they've got a great offer for our listeners. If you sign up today, Newsmax is going to give you a free emergency radio worth $30. Now, the federal government says every family needs to have an emergency radio, and you're going to be able to get one free with your subscription to the Newsmax magazine. All you have to do is call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX, and you're going to be able to get that free emergency radio today. All right, folks, coming up, Trish Regan is going to be here in the next hour. Jason Miller from Getter is going to weigh in on President Trump's big announcement. Also, our good friend Avery Bryson, the informative nerd burrito, is going to be here. Let's talk about Superman and Alec Baldwin. So we have a lot going on today. And, of course, Grace Baker about ready to head out for vacation. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on, too. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Mark in the Villages. What's happening, Mark?
Hey, Todd. You know, if I was married to Janice, I'd either fire file for divorce or become an alcoholic. But that's not why I called
you.
The reason I called was this Alec Baldwin thing. My number one question would be, first of all, you never point a gun at anybody. I know that because United States Concealed Carry Association teaches it, that as well as the NRA. Number two is, did they drug test him? That would be my number one question. Was he drinking? Did he have anything in his system? He should have been tested. And number two, why are you pointing a gun at somebody if they're not even part of the film?
You see, that's a great question. And Mark, again, I'm not an apologist for Alec Baldwin, but it could be that, you know, the scene that they were shooting required him to point the gun at somebody. And they were using, you know, the director was like, okay, point like you're. But again, I'm with you. There were so many rules broken regarding gun safety on that set. Clearly, nobody had a clue. And that is a good question about whether or not he was under the influence of something.
You know he's a partier. You know he is. You can tell just by the way he looks. He's just outraged every time you look at him. He's just like a ticking time bomb anyway. But my girlfriend brings up a point, too, and she pointed this out yesterday. She said, what if he was set up? But still, even if you're being set up, why would you point a gun at somebody that's not even part of the show?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm sure we'll find out. But the sheriff's department says they let him go. So far, no charges have been filed. So we'll see. You know, Mark,
they tested his blood.
Yeah, Mark is you're the second person who suggested that this might be some sort of a setup. So that's interesting.
Well, my girlfriend said that. She kind of threw that out. She just threw it out there.
All right, Mark, appreciate the call. Let's go to Georgia. Rick, WDUN. All right, Rick, what's on your mind?
I appreciate your show, Todd.
Thank you.
You got me listening to the radio again. I quit for a while.
Well, we're glad you're back, Rick.
I love it. But you mentioned earlier in the show about an actor who had been shot on a set before, and I remember that vividly because anti-gun rights people want to capitalize on these and distort it. But what had happened, I remember distinctly, he had a stage gun, but blanks require something to stop up the end of the shell casing to create some pressure to make the bang. And I remember distinctly he put that gun to his head, joking, not while they were filming, just playing, put it to his head, and that wad that at the end of the casing went right into his brain and killed him instantly. So I just wanted to let you know that was not somebody being shot intentionally or, you know, pointing a gun. He was just playing.
And oh, yeah, he was just goofing around. So, and that happened back in, 1984, I believe? And then the other one I was in 1993 on the set of The Crow with Bruce Lee's son, Brandon. So just a terrible tragedy. But, look, you can't be stupid. And that's the thing. I mean, the guy was just being stupid.
Well, I bet you Alec Baldwin will check every gun he touches from now on.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, Rick, glad to have look. Thank
Take
you
care.
For thanks for calling in. Give us a holler back one of these days, and welcome back to radio. You know, that's what it's really all about, this program, folks. It's all about having a good time, talking about the crazy stories of the day, and taking calls from our great listeners. And we love that, and we take this this job very seriously. We've been doing it for 5 years now. So, look, here's the deal. We've got a lot of folks on hold. You guys hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. I know we have Joe from LJ, Jason in Statesville, North Carolina. Hang tight, guys. We're going to get to your calls right after the top of the hour news because we're just literally running out of time here. Again, do not forget, if you want one of the exclusive, and we have 10 bomber jackets, Todd Starn Show bomber jackets, and these are great leather jackets. You're going to love them. Also, if you'd like a Todd Starn Show library, all of the books I've written, and an exclusive Zoom call with your church group or political group, you need to head over to our website right now and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom Donate Now button. That $1,000 donation is going to get you all of that. If you don't have $1,000, give $100. We are well on our way to $25,000, raising that money to help our friends over at Alliance Defending Freedom. Stick around, folks. Trish Regan coming up next. This is the Todd Starn Show.
from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, America. Welcome. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Yeah, you know what? This country may be in the middle of a dumpster fire, but not this radio program. I can tell you that much. Good to have you with us today, folks. And, folks, a little behind-the-scenes humor, so my apologies there. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Welcome to the show. We've got a lot going on this hour of the program. So, look, earlier in the week we were telling you about these attacks on the culture, and specifically with regard to DC Comics and their decision to turn most of their most beloved characters into members of the LGBT society. And I thought, who better than to weigh in on all of this, our resident expert and our good friend Avery Bryson. Avery is the host of the Informative Nerd Burrito podcast. He is also a film major at Liberty University. And Avery is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Avery, hope things are going well for you.
Todd, things are going absolutely fantastic here at Liberty University. How are things in Memphis?
Well, we're doing well. I will say this. We've been following your developments on Instagram and the social media, and I know that you're in the throes of learning how to become a filmmaker. And I wanted to, real quick, before we jump into the Superman, a lot of people have been weighing in on this Alec Baldwin story, crazy story. And I'm wondering a couple of takeaways specifically about, you know, who's responsible on the set to make sure there are no live rounds in the guns.
Yes. So I had a great talk this morning with Tim Van Horn, the morning show of Mornings with Memphis. Or I've just screwed that name up. I'm so sorry. But Tim and I had this very similar conversation. But basically, in the world of film, you know, like whether you have fake guns or real guns, blank firing guns, whatever, on set, you typically need someone which is called an armorer, which, you know, they're basically, they train all of the actors and stunt people how to use guns properly. Because, you know, you and I both have seen, Todd, you know, a whole lot of actors are not big fans on the use of guns in general, except when it makes them money, if you know what I mean. But, typically you need what's called an armorer on set to make sure that everything goes safely and so that, you know, nobody's waving the gun around because, you know, growing up in the South, I've always been told treat a gun like it's loaded at all times, even if it is fake, because, I mean, you never know for some weird reason. But, so basically it's just, I think it's a little bit of everybody's fault. I'm going to get very careful when I say that. Because at the end of the day, a life has been lost, and so it's not necessarily fun to point fingers at people. But it's basically just a lot of hands. The ball was definitely dropped in this situation. The actor was not dealing with the firearm very well, and someone wasn't watching him and telling him what to do just because of his name and how much money he makes, I believe.
Well, I'd be terrified to go onto one of those sets with those people because clearly most of them have no idea how to properly operate a firearm. And, you know, I mean, you're a son of the South, so that's kind of in your DNA.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I actually even know a friend who's one of my classes who was babysitting, like, one of the extras or something like that that's on the set right now, and he's about 13 years old, and he saw it happen. So, like, yeah, this is a traumatic event nonetheless.
So, Avery, let's turn over to what's been happening with DC Comics. Is this a big problem? I know that one of the colorists for the Superman comic book has now resigned. He said he's tired of all of this nonsense, tired of all the wokeness, and he really hates what DC Comics is doing to a lot of these beloved characters.
Yeah, DC Comics is definitely one of those industries. I mean, compared to Marvel, they are a lot more risky when it comes to being woke, in my personal opinion. I love both equally, but yeah, DC Comics definitely does make more strides in the wokeness crowd, in my personal opinion. But yeah, I don't blame that artist for stepping down, moving away, because I mean, like, at this point, you're just pandering to your audience so that you don't get canceled. And that's one thing, you know, as a film major, that's one of the things that I have to keep in mind. Not necessarily so I don't offend the crowd, but I mean, I have to recognize that that is a legitimate obstacle I'm going to face, especially as a young man, as a Christian, that this is something I'm going to face daily, possibly in my career, my future career. And so, yeah, at this point, it's no longer being considered art. It's just being considered a platform to show, hey, this is, you know, this is how society should be in this giant industry's opinion.
Or propaganda to advance an agenda. Again, Avery Bryson on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Avery, this has been going on for a while, and it's not just DC Comics. I know Marvel has been playing around with maybe making Spider-Man gay, or at least a version of Spider-Man gay. You've got over on the DC Comics side, Aquaman, Robin, Batwoman, Wonder Woman. Yes. It's just, you wonder, okay, is there really an audience for this kind of stuff? And honestly, who is the audience now for comic books in America?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Todd. But if I'm being totally honest, like sometimes, you know, like I haven't done this recently. I don't typically look at comment sections on a lot of social medias just because there's a lot of people who try to be negative no matter what you're posting. But if you do scroll through like some of these articles that discuss these topics and discuss about these characters and, you know, they're coming out-ness, I guess you could say, a lot of the fans are typically pretty upset. They're like, this is very similar to what I just said. It's no longer art. It's no longer entertainment. It's just propaganda and pushing an agenda, and it's just really annoying at this point.
Because I know that you will be offended by what I'm about to say, Avery,
okay,
but I am a big Star Trek fan. I prefer Star Trek over Star Wars. And the latest rendition of the Star Trek series, which is on CBS on their OTT platform, that's a huge part of it. It's that it's all about female leaders and gay Star Trek officers. I mean, that's basically the gist of it. And it really does take away from the storytelling, and you get more into this, you know, propaganda instead of a good story.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And when it comes to one thing that I'm learning in some of my classes, you know, you have to learn how to build your characters individually. And if you're making one point, like one specific personality trait about this character, and you make that their entire identity, that's a very shallow character. And that's not necessarily opinion-wise. That's just based on facts and evidence in the storytelling world.
What is I threw out an idea earlier in the week, Avery. I wanted to get your take on this. I think the reason why they're making, you know, Superman bisexual, Robin bisexual, I think the reason they're doing this is that they know there's already a built-in audience. And I think the concern is they will not be able to have a successful character built from the ground up who is in fact created to be gay.
Yeah, because Batman, Robin, Superman, all these characters have been around for such a long time, and fans have grown to love them. And honestly, like it's crazy when you think about it. Like some of these characters were made back in the '60s; they still have the same name, the same motivations for why they do their hero work, and people still love it. So yeah, I totally agree. They're changing; they're not making these new original characters because, I mean, people aren't going to necessarily, like, when you look at it for the most part, a lot of people typically in this country don't like change when it comes to anything. And so, like, when you have, like, this these characters who already have this great foundation and great following, you can change, like, these kind of minute things about them. And then, you know, for the most part, some fans are just willing to go along with it because they've been devoted so much to they've been devoted to this character for such a long time.
All right. My goodness. All right, Avery, where can folks go if they want to get a copy or download the informative Nerd Burrito podcast?
Yes, Todd, thank you so much for letting me plug this. Feel free to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you can find your podcast. Also, we're on social media. Instagram is Informative Nerd Burrito. And our Twitter is also at Informative Nerd Burrito there as well.
All right, Avery, get back to class, learn something, get smart.
Yes, sir, will do. I got to make the money somehow, right?
Well done. All right, Avery Bryson, ladies and gentlemen, one of our alums here on the radio program, now a film major at Liberty University and a good guy. Folks, if we're going to change the culture, we got to put Christians in Hollywood. I mean, that's the bottom line. If we want to change the culture of the of journalism in America, you got to put people of faith, good, strong journalists, patriotic journalist in America's newsrooms. That's what we've got to do. All right. Hey, let's go to the phones here. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in on a variety of topics here. Let's go to, first of all, our good friend, Joe in Ellijay, Georgia. Hey, Joe, what's going on today?
Todd, you were great last night on Newsmax, and I just want to say to you that I think your show, your great radio show in Newsmax, are the best things on television and radio, and you were great, and I watch Newsmax all the time, and I think they're growing fast, you're growing fast, and I also want to thank, last week I mentioned Governor, I mean, the one I hope to be Governor, Glenn Youngkin of Virginia, and I think your radio show will help lead to a strong Glenn Youngkin victory, which will be great for the conservative cause, and I think the election of a conservative House and Senate in 22 and the re-election, or the election of, I guess, say the re-election of Donald Trump in 24. But anyway, your show is, I have people all the time saying, Joe, I heard you on the Todd Show, and people, you have a, you're really doing a great job, and of course, I think Newsmax is too, and I would say that Newsmax and the Todd Starn shows are the best growing radio show and television shows in America.
Well, Joe,
appreciate what you're doing.
Joe, you're kind to say that. I never interrupt you when someone's complimenting me like that, Grace Baker. You don't want to interrupt them.
No, so. Never.
And you got Grace. She's great, too. I hope you have a good vacation.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Joe. And that's right, Grace, because you're heading down to New Orleans.
Yep, for the first time.
When are you heading out after the show?
Tonight.
Flying?
Yes, flying.
Oh, boy. Heading over to Memphis International.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I got to tell you, the new airport hasn't opened up yet. You know, they're doing the whole brand new wing of the airport.
Yes.
Literally has not been updated since the 1960s.
No, sad to say.
So it's going to be really nice, but you're going to love New Orleans.
I'm excited.
And you've got your list.
Oh, yeah, I got my list.
So we're going to invite people because I still think we need to fill out the rest of... You're going to be eating a lot of food down there.
That's the plan.
We just got to make sure you're going to the right places, and if there are any good clubs that you should go to, you know, out on, you know, in the French Quarter.
Yes.
So if you have suggestions for Grace Baker, ladies and gentlemen, give us a call. We'll put you on the air. We're making Grace Baker heading to New Orleans and then Phoenix and with Mr. Producer. And if you have a recommendation for a restaurant or something they ought to do, give us a call, 844-747-8868. Again, that's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. And as we head into another weekend, I want to thank everybody for making our Alliance Defending Freedom campaign such a smashing success. Every dollar we raise through donations from men and women just like you lets ADF take on another of their 5,000 requests for cases they get every year. All you need to do to help out is go to toddstearns.com, click on the Donate Now banner to support Alliance Defending Freedom. ADF Senior Counsel Kate Anderson agrees with me that every dollar counts.
Well, I just want to say first, we're all in this together, and we really appreciate the donors that come alongside us and make it possible for us to defend these important freedoms for everybody. There are lots of cases to be looking for. We continue to work in other areas to try to defend on college campuses, religious freedom and free speech, to protect life, to protect parental rights and marriage and the family.
And she's right. And right now, ToddStearns.com, Alliance Defending Freedom banner, you can make a gift to protect your most precious freedoms. It's your turn, folks. A donation of $100 to the Freedom Fund will help ensure ADF can remain fully funded and on the job. Again, ToddStearns.com, click on the ADF banner, or you can call to make a donation, 855-716-7461. That's 855-716-7461. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hey, let's go to the phones. Statesville, North Carolina, Craig on WSIC has a recommendation for Grace Baker. All right, Craig, what's the recommendation?
J.W. Finn's in downtown and needs to talk to Doug May. He's the manager.
Doug May. All right. So J.W. Finn's. There you go, yep. Grace. All right, good. What's good on the menu there, Craig?
Oh, everything. Their specials are always awesome.
All right, you got to go for the special. So I'm always after a good po' boy. I enjoy Mother's. They do a pretty good job of a roast beef debris po' boy.
Yeah, this is a kind of more upscale restaurant.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, nothing wrong with upscale. Got to go to Brennan's or something like that. Commander's Palace, maybe. All right. Craig, thanks for the recommendation. Let's go to Cleveland, Georgia. Tom has a recommendation for Grace. All right, Tom, what's your recommendation?
Well, everybody else will be able to tell her about the clubs and the restaurants. But I was there about 5 years ago, and it was, I don't know if it was a Thursday or Friday night, but it was in the heat of Bourbon Street Friday or Saturday night, where as the Reverend Graham and his son have both referred to America, the Sodomites and the Gomorrites were strolling up and down Bourbon Street in their, you know, inappropriate dress and attire, and especially the females. And others, but the street preacher, Todd, he was up on this platform. It was kind of a stand, almost like a popcorn stand kind of situation. And he was on fire for the Lord. And it was just wonderful to do the people watching as they tried to ignore him. Some of them looked up at him, but that was special for me.
So your recommendation for Grace is to find a street preacher.
No, this one, he's in the middle of it. He's on Bourbon Street.
I'm very confused here, Tom. All right, well, look, I appreciate the call. Thank you, and appreciate the sentiment. But Grace,
not sure about the street preacher, but I'll take the special.
The special at Jay Finn's.
Sounds very good.
It does sound pretty good. So we were looking for recommendations. I mean, you should go to church if you're down there on a Sunday. Well, are you going to go to church? You're not going to go to church. You're on vacation.
No, because I'm not even... We're going to be Ubering everywhere. I need to get an Uber to go to church. It'd be a little rough.
In New Orleans. I wouldn't recommend that. Fox News poll, by the way. Turns out most of you folks out there are very concerned about inflation. And Biden, by the way, last night at the town hall said, hey, we don't know when this gas crisis is going to be over. We don't know what's going to happen there. In other words, you better get ready because you're probably going to be paying $5 for a gallon of gasoline. Places over in California already above $7 a gallon for regular unleaded. According to the Fox News poll, 9 in 10 voters are worried about inflation. And they report prices are up for everyday items. Here's how bad it is. And you folks have been sending us photographs, which we appreciate. And we're going to post these on our website. But things are so bad that what the supermarket's doing, instead of just bare shelves, they will line up all of the rows of canned food to give the impression there are more cans behind them and there are not. I mean, it's just insane. Are you starting to see that in your local markets? Are you starting to see the shortfall of products? 844-747-8868. 71% of you say you've already noticed products are out of stock. 844-747-8868. Hang tight, folks. Got to take a break. Heading to the phones. Coming up, this is the Todd Stern Show. All right, a few days ago, I posted some video on our website. It was video of a bizarre incident inside a classroom of a high school in Riverside, California. Now, the teacher, and Grace Baker, you have seen this video, so you know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to play some of the audio, and I will just have to cut it off until, you know, there's only so much of this we can stand. But the teacher was dressed in a faux Indian headdress, and she was hopping around her classroom doing these Indian chants and Indian dances as the children watched on aghast. And as I look, the woman clearly a Looney Tune. But Grace, as I watched this video, the first thing that came to my mind was they're going to get her.
Yep.
For a cultural appropriation.
Poor thing. They're going to come after her next.
She's a white woman. Crazy white woman. But that's the first thing I saw. And people are like, oh, Starnes, you don't know what you're talking about. This is just a wackadoodle teacher. No. She can be crazy as a fox. But I'm telling you, I'm telling you.
Foxes are crazy.
I don't know. It's a saying. But they're going to get her, Grace Baker, because she's a white woman wearing feathers. Let's take a listen. Suck a toe? Oh my God! And then she goes on to pray to the rock god. Folks, this is happening in a public school classroom. Everything you just heard, and it goes on and on and on and on. It just goes on and on and on. So, again, the issue here for me was that woman's crazy as a loon. But she's in trouble because, get ready, she culturally appropriated. According to the Los Angeles Times, the teacher has been placed on paid leave after the viral video surfaced, showing her hollering and dancing around the classroom in a fake feathered headdress. The Native American community, the indigenous peoples, very upset, and they want this woman fired. The Riverside Unified School District released a statement saying the teacher's actions do not represent the values of the district, and their people are calling it a racist video and culturally insensitive. Well, I mean, the woman was just unhinged. She was, you've got to watch this video. We've got it on the website. Jumping up and down, even the teacher's union is like, we don't know what the hell is going on with that lady. Anyway, we'll keep you posted, but Grace Baker, I mean, what are you going to do?
I kind of feel bad for her. I know that sounds weird, but...
Why do you feel bad? She was going around saying, suck a toe, suck a toe.
I feel like she, watching the video, I'm like, she's absolutely crazy, but I feel like she's just trying to get into the lesson. At least she's putting some effort in. I don't know. And then the woke mob comes for her, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
It's a mess. It's a mess. All right. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us the man who gave the world a great gift, that gift called Getter, my favorite social media platform now, at Todd Starnes. I've got the red check mark, by the way. Jason Miller. Hope you're doing good, Jason.
Todd, happy Friday. Still good to be with you.
So, look, there was a lot of scuttlebutt in the media over the past couple of days. President Trump announcing his new social media platform, and a lot of folks wondering, well, what is that going to mean for you folks at Getter?
Well, I can tell you day one, the immediate result is we saw a 70% increase in signups yesterday. And let me tell you why I think that is. Number one, about 25 to 30% of all Trump voters left social media after he was deplatformed back in January. People had already been frustrated and annoyed at Facebook and Twitter. And then with President Trump leaving, I think a lot of people just said, hey, social media is boring now. It's not as exciting. So I think President Trump getting back into social media, or at least announcing that he has something that might be coming in a few months, I think a lot of people said, you know what? I want to get back in. I want to get involved. Hey, Getter's alive. It's up and going now. We ought to go and give it a whirl. Let's go and give it a try. And I think we offer a superior user experience. I think with the longer posts, longer videos, the fact that we don't send people to digital jail for speaking their mind politically, I think is the key. But as we move ahead, President Trump's going to energize and mobilize a lot of people to come off the sidelines or even to want to get active again. And we think that we'll be uniquely positioned since we're up and running now. We have such a good product for people to come check out Getter.
By the way, speaking of that Twitter jail, YouTube has banned all versions of the Let's Go Brandon chant, and any kinds of music, anything associated with Let's Go Brandon now gets banned on YouTube. This is the kind of stuff that is making people leave those platforms and go to Getter.
So, Todd, you're so spot on here. So, as you know, initially, you know, about a month and a half ago, we started doing the airplane banners over SEC football games and the tailgates and the signs, the plane banners. We're reading "Twitter sucks, join Getter." And we combo that with some geofencing and reached out to folks who are in attendance to get them Getter ads and things like that. But we upped our game and 2 weeks ago started going with "Let's Go Brandon, join Getter" banners that were flying around and got some good attention. Hannity picked it up, and I think Harris Faulkner picked it up, and obviously yourself and other people. We're taking it to the next level starting this weekend, whereas you saw Virginia Tech banned "Let's Go Brandon" as far as the chant. So, yes, we will have a plane banner flying around Virginia Tech University down there in Southwest Virginia with a "Let's Go Brandon" banner. And then we may have seen that Canadian PM Justin Trudeau said government workers are not allowed to say "Let's Go Brandon." And so I will have a LA Brandon joingetter.com banner. They'll be flying around the Toronto Argonauts versus the Montreal Alouettes for their Friday night Canadian football game tonight.
Love it. This is fantastic. And I can attest the chant broke out briefly in the stands at a middle school football game in Western Tennessee that I was actually in attendance at. So I'll just leave that there. Jason Miller, ladies and gentlemen, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, Jason, when you this town hall meeting last night, you know, they were lobbing soft.
Is one of our users on Getter said last night, wasn't a town hall meeting, it was a clown hall meeting.
Clown hall. Oh, I like that. It was.
I stole it.
Seems like a dumpster fire. I mean, they were just lobbing softballs at the guy.
My favorite is when he powered down. It was just he's in the middle of that answer, and all of a sudden his shoulders kind of roll forward. He's like, and it's just like, is he okay? Like, is someone going to check on him? Do they got to get? You know, they have the medics come out and they like, you know, put him under one of the those misters like they have on the. Those mist machines like they have on the sidelines for football games. I mean, do we need to we need to repower him? It was just it was terrible. He didn't make any sense.
He ran out of gas. I mean, it's just bizarre. And then Anderson Cooper stepping in and helping the guy. You can't remember the name of the port of Long Beach. You're the president of the United States. We're facing a national crisis, a supply chain crisis. You would think that he would be up to speed on those kinds of issues.
You would think so. You would think that he'd be on top of it. But again, this is look, this kind of put aside. I know previously I was a little bit on the snarky side. There's a real problem with this White House. And I used to think that the extreme liberals were in charge, the Kamala Harris's, the Bernie Sanders, the Elizabeth Warren's. I think something even more dangerous is afoot right now where I don't think anybody's in charge. I don't think Biden's truly in charge. I don't think his team is particularly bright. They don't seem to be in charge. And it really seems to be kind of an extended version of Weekend at Bernie's, where they're just trying to prop him up and trying to show just a little bit enough of a pulse to where the country doesn't go into full panic. But any action they do make makes things worse, such as Afghanistan, such as being weak toward Hamas or even China, such as they're printing more money. So then that way, hyperinflation rules the day. So every little thing that they do just turns out to be a bigger, bigger disaster.
Unbelievable. Jason, we are going to have to leave it there. We're up against a hard break. We appreciate you calling in, and congrats on the live streaming feature over at Getter. We love it, and we're having a great time over there.
You're the man. Thank you, Todd.
All right, Jason Miller, folks, from Getter.com. And if you have not made the switch, I would encourage you to do that. It's a lot of fun. You're going to love it. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. Real quick before we go to break, let's get to the phones. Tom, Statesville, North Carolina, wants to weigh in on the supply chains. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how you doing? I just, like I told Grace Baker, I was just at Sam's Club, BJ's, Harris Teeter, and Lowe's Foods. And yes, the shelves are getting bare. In the supermarkets, they've, like you said, the cans are all pushed out to the front, and there's nothing behind them. In BJ's and Sam's Club, when you go to the refrigerated and freezer cases, they got plenty of stock in the front that the public can see, but if you look behind the boxes, there's not much behind them. So, yes, there is definitely a shortage, just so.
Is that right? Are anything in particular that you noticed is completely gone?
A lot of the canned goods are completely gone, vegetables and soups and stuff like that. But the other thing I was on a quest for this morning, and I ended up buying a frozen one, was that I got a turkey because there ain't no turkeys around anywhere.
Well, that's a big issue, and there are concerns we may not have enough turkeys for Thanksgiving. If you've got one, more power to you, but you might want to be reaching out to Butterball because those things are going to be going fast. Tom, appreciate the update there from Statesville, North Carolina. Folks, what about your neighborhood? Give us a holler. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Little Doobie Brothers there. Grace Baker heading down for the big concert in New Orleans. The Big Easy. Fat City.
I'm very excited.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Danny on the line from WSIC. Danny wants to weigh in on Alec Baldwin. Hey, Danny, what's up?
Hey, Todd. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got another question about the Alec Baldwin deal. I grew up around guns, all my life, too, and I've never shot anything that I didn't know I'd hit. And so my question is, if he had shot one person, would he have not known it? And if so, why then would you point the gun at someone else and pull the trigger again?
Yeah, that is a good question. And again, I think we still don't know the particulars of exactly how all of this went down. But, right. if in fact the gun was fired twice, that to me would be a bit problematic. You would think after the first shot, you would realize, something was not quite right.
Yeah. And if it had been only one live round in it, well, then how did the second person get shot also?
It's another great question, Danny. Somebody is going to have to be held accountable here. No doubt about that. The question is, who is going to be that person? Is it going to be Alec Baldwin? Will he face some sort of a charge, whether it be, a misdemeanor, or will it be the prop master who ultimately had responsibility? Whoever had responsibility for those weapons, they could be charged with negligence or something like that.
Right, but I agree, the prop master should ultimately be responsible, but would Alec not have some responsibility too, like I say, having fired the second shot?
It's a great question, and so far nobody's been arrested. That's what the sheriff
right.
says, but let's see what happens. I mean, he should be held accountable, and no doubt he'll have to live with this for the rest of his life.
If it had been me, I'd be responsible. They'd hold me responsible.
Well, if it was a Republican, look what they did to Dick Cheney. He accidentally shot the guy. Remember that? He shot
right,
the guy on
yeah.
the hunting trip, and the mainstream yeah. media just crucified Dick Cheney.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens there. Hey, appreciate the call, Danny. And it's a good thought. What a mess. And what a tragedy. And we need to be praying for the families of the victims of Alec Baldwin and whatever went down there. But what a terrible, terrible story. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Real quick, Bill, Cordova, Tennessee on KWAM. Bill, real quick, what's on your mind?
Good morning, or good afternoon now. The magic bullet from JFK, the second bullet that hit JFK also hit John Kennedy. I mean,
Connally.
Johnson.
Yeah. Connally. Yeah, the governor of Texas.
Correct. So it's not impossible, but it's not really likely that that happened. But my bigger concern is they have people, I think they're called prop masters.
Yes.
That are supposed to check all the props, everything, and in particular guns, to make sure that they are safe and ready for the prop. So my question is, who failed that?
Yeah, that's the question we've been asking, Bill. And I hear you on the one bullet, two victims, but one was shot. She was shot in the stomach, and he was shot in the shoulder. So I'm not quite. We just don't have those particulars, but that would be the shot if that's what happened.
Absolutely.
All right.
And I don't think it was one bullet. I think it was two bullets, but it could be reflexes. He shot once, pulled the trigger immediately before he realized the first bullet hit the woman, Hanlea, whatever her name is. I butchered that. But, you know, it's not impossible. It's just not likely. And there is just something that needs to be further investigated here.
Completely agree with you. Bill, God bless you. And we're going to leave it there for this hour. Hang tight, folks. Trish Regan coming up. Also, a high school football player who said, you know what? We're going to pray at our football games. We don't care what the government says. We're going to talk to that football player. He's coming up next. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And welcome, everybody, to the Todd Starnes radio program. It is such an honor to have you with us today. Want to jump into a story out of Loudoun County, Virginia, and a huge, huge props to our student worker at Liberty University, Charlotte, who has been covering this story. She's been at the school board meetings and has been doing a deep dive for us in what's been happening in Loudoun County. Now, we told you a couple of days ago that there was an incident that made national headlines when a guy was arrested at the school board meeting for really going off unhinged. Well, the problem was we did not know the rest of the story. And it turns out that this guy was the father of a daughter of a ninth grader who had been allegedly raped by a transgender, a boy who identifies as a girl, on school property. As the story goes on and the story continues, we found out this boy was removed from the school and then was sent to another school where he allegedly did the exact same thing. So now we're getting some inside information. It was that incident, by the way, that propelled the Justice Department to crack down on moms and dads who show up at school board meetings. And the language they used, they accused you guys, you moms and dads, of being domestic terrorists. And the whole point of this was to ice free speech, because they don't want moms and dads interfering with their nefarious scheme. And what is that nefarious scheme? Well, as we have outlined in a number of books over the past, I don't know, decade or so, the public school system is the engine driving the socialist change in our country. Those classrooms have been turned into indoctrination centers for left-wing causes, and especially the radical LGBTQIA plus alphabet people community. So we've got a couple of emails we want to share with you. And you know what? We'll start with the White House first. All right. I've got this story from the New York Post. The pages of the New York Post. The author is Samuel Chamberlain. Top officials of a national school board group talked to the White House days before Attorney General Merrick Garland ordered the FBI to investigate complaints of threats from parents. So here's how all of this went down. The National School Board Association asked the Justice Department to investigate, but they did something else before that. They went to the White House. So it was the Biden administration that gave them the idea to consider moms and dads to be domestic terrorists. And by the way, that's causing a massive controversy within the National School Board Association, because a lot of those people are saying, wait, we've never used language like this. What's going on? The emails raise serious questions about whether the White House ordered Garland to have the FBI investigate confrontations and other incidents at local school board meetings. Do you understand what's going on here? Now, I want to take you back years ago, right after Benghazi. What was it that the Obama administration said happened? What was it that caused the attack on the consulate in Benghazi? They said it was a YouTube video. Remember that story? It was a YouTube video. And of course, we now know that was not true. There was a pastor, a very popular pastor in Florida, who was preaching a series about Islam. And the White House got wind of this, and they actually sent a military official from the Pentagon to convince the pastor not to preach the sermon. That story got very little attention, but we reported on it when I was at Fox News Channel. I wrote about it when I was at Fox News Channel. It is incredibly offensive and a violation of the Constitution for a military leader to step foot on American soil and tell a preacher what he should and should not be preaching from the pulpit. This, to me, reminds me of Barack Hussein Obama. The idea the White House would tell the Attorney General to send the FBI out and shut up these moms and dads, because that's what's going on. They want to shut you people up. We can't have these parents lurking around. They'll find out our nefarious schemes, curses. Well, that's what's going on here. In a letter to the president last month, the head of the nation's largest school board association reached out to the Biden administration before suggesting parents who object to mask mandates and the imposition of critical race theory are engaging in a form of domestic terrorism. That's what's going on. All the emails now out there, released, so you can see what's really going on. Now, that brings me back to Loudoun County. So here's the situation. You had a little girl who was raped on school property. Now, I just want to, just in your mind, imagine the rage you would have if you got a call from the school board and said, sir, we've got some bad news. Ma'am, we have some horrible news. Your daughter has been raped. Now, the superintendent, Scott Ziegler, what did he tell the media? What did he announce at that school board meeting? He announced that nobody knew anything about this. But now we know that's not true. According to WTOP, in Washington, D.C., they have obtained a confidential email, an email written from the superintendent to the school board members on May 28th. What is the date, Grace Baker?
The date?
The date. It is October 22nd.
Yes.
You don't know because you're drinking matcha or something in your beautiful tea glass.
H2O.
In a Starbucks mug.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I lose a few points there.
It's October 22nd, Grace Baker.
It's Friday. I'm sorry. You said that was like
vacation. You're already on vacation.
No.
So, Grace, October 22nd, just last week they were saying, we don't know anything about this. But the truth is they were lying. They did know about it on May 28th because we, the Todd Starnes radio program, we've got a copy of the exclusive confidential email. Now, I'm going to do my best to read this to you. The purpose of this email is to provide you with information regarding an incident that occurred at Stonebridge High School. This afternoon, a female student alleged that a male student sexually assaulted her in the restroom. Local law enforcement is investigating the matter. Now, what's fascinating about this is that nobody bothered to make this information public at the time. Now, last week, here's what the superintendent wrote. First, let me say to the families and students involved, my heart aches for you. I am sorry we have failed to provide a safe, warming, and affirming environment that we aspire to provide. We acknowledge and share your pain and will continue to support you, blah, 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 blah. They knew about this since May 28th, and they did nothing. But there's more to it, and I'm going to try my best to read this to you. I have to take my glasses off for those of you watching us here. He goes on to say, so again, this email went out to school board members. So this afternoon, a female student alleged a male student sexually assaulted her in the restroom. Law enforcement is investigating. Secondary to the assault investigation, the female student's parent responded to the school and caused a disruption by using threatening and profane language that was overheard by staff and students. Additional law enforcement units responded to the school to assist with the parent. The school's counseling team is providing services for students who witnessed the parent's behavior. Excuse me? Excuse me. Excuse me. Now I want to ask you again, as a parent, you get the call, your child has been raped in the school, you show up, and what is going to be your demeanor?
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you say? Oh, my daughter was raped? Oh, that's just terrible. Just terrible. How are you? May I have a cup of coffee, please? How's the wife doing? No, no, no. We'll get to my daughter in just a moment. I just want to find out how you're doing.
No, nobody would act like that. You'd be screaming. You'd be using language you wouldn't use at a church business meeting on a Wednesday night. You'd be fired up. You'd be wanting answers. You'd be wanting to know where the student was who raped your daughter because you'd want to kill him. That's what any parent would do. But the school district, if you notice, they didn't say anything about offering counseling to the young lady who was raped. They didn't say anything about offering counseling to the friends of the young lady who might be traumatized because their friend was sexually assaulted. No, 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 no. No, what they did was they offered the counseling to people who might be offended by the salty language from the father of the victim. All I can say is, if you live in Loudoun County, Virginia, you need to be at that school board meeting, and every school board meeting, you need to be demanding that the school superintendent be fired, along with every single school board member who knew about this and said nothing about it. This is appalling. Appalling. You want to talk about terrorism? What they did to this little girl who was raped by a transgender kid in the bathroom, that is terrorism. All right, got to take a break. Oh, we've got some. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this audio before we go to break. Take a listen.
I was told by everyone, my attorneys, the prosecuting attorney, friends of the family, people I don't even know, that if I wanted justice for my daughter, that I needed to keep my mouth quiet.
They wanted to brush us under the rug. That's what they wanted to do. We're not going to let that happen. Not on this radio show. This is appalling. Somebody owes this man an apology. Somebody owes this little girl an apology. And all the people on that school board, they deserve to be fired. Removed from office immediately. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com. You know, we talk a lot about the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on this program, and we love it. And that's because Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs, and they donate a portion of every dollar they make to organizations that we care about. And if you switch to Patriot Mobile today, right now, Friday, and use the promo code Todd, they're going to give you free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile, they've got the broadest nationwide coverage. And you say, well, how do they do that, Todd? Well, they use the same towers everybody else uses. And they have a plan to fit any budget, no matter how big or small. And if you are a veteran or first responder, they're going to hook you up with even more discounts. It's very easy. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, and you can check it all out. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or you could call their customer service team. They're standing by right now, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Well, President Trump just released a statement about Meghan McCain. You know, McCain says she was bullied and belittled over at The View. Meanwhile, the squawking magpies over there say, are you nuts? They said she was the problem. I will say this. I had some firsthand knowledge of this, and I normally do not side with the squawking magpies over at The View, but they've got a point here. She was not exactly the most pleasant person to be around. Anyway, President Trump at Fox News, back when she was at Fox. President Trump weighs in, isn't it funny that Meghan McCain, who has always been a bully and basically a lowlife, is now, you got to love the president. He just gets right to it. Anyway, he says, isn't it funny that Meghan McCain, who has always been a bully and basically a lowlife, is now complaining that it was she who was bullied by the slobs and radical left maniacs on The View? And he goes on and on and on there. So unbelievable. Trump says that she should fight back against the losers of The View the way she fights against very good and well-meaning Republicans. And she would do herself a world of good. Hear, hear, Mr. President. So, Grace Baker, I'm curious. When you were a little girl, when you were a child.
Yes.
Did you have sleepovers and parties at your house?
Of course I did. All just because right. I was homeschooled doesn't mean I didn't have friends.
No. We don't buy into the stereotypes.
Okay.
Not on this program. Unless you have all blonde children and live on a farm in South Georgia. But I will say, so when the kids came over, did they have to sign like any rules or regulations, or were they read the rules of the house or anything like that?
No.
So the friends come over, and what happens?
I mean, it's like, hey, girls, try to go, or, you know, they might come check up on us. Hey, maybe quiet down or go to bed soon. You got church in the morning, that kind of a thing.
And they would have, what, pizza or the Hot Pockets or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
All right,
pizza.
So I want you to listen. This is from the libs of TikTok. This is a leftist mom, and she's so excited because her child is going to have their first and last party. Take a listen.
So my teenagers are having a bunch of friends over tonight, and like typical moms, I'm really excited, and I've got a bunch of snacks and other stuff, but here's what I'm really excited about. So this is like our little welcome to our home. Asking that everybody be respectful. We have lots of pets. But then down here, letting all their friends know if they ever need a safe place to stay, that this is one. And then I've got name tags for preferred names and pronouns. And then these little sheets for everybody to use to let us know their preferred name or pronouns and name and pronouns they should use if speaking to their parents in case they're not out. And I'm so excited.
That poor child is going to be labeled as, you know, talk about pronoun labels. They're going to stick a label on her, loser.
So the mom actually had her own name tag.
Yeah, and I'm sure it says lame mom on it, too.
It says mom, and then it's got her pronouns underneath.
Yeah, weirdo.
Could you imagine, though, going to a party like that?
I feel bad for the kid.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I really do. I feel for that abuse. Kid just listening to that. I'm like, you poor thing.
So
mom,
she says...
You're embarrassing me.
So we need to know your preferred pronouns, so if your parent calls... We will use the preferred pronouns. So they're basically creating a safe house for, I don't know, alphabet people children.
My gosh.
You know, that's why I said first and last party at that house.
Yeah, for sure. They're not coming back.
I got to tell you, there are some messed up moms and dads. There are some people in America, Grace, who should not be procreating.
I have to agree with that.
I'm just want to put that out there. There are just some people that, you know what, just they're the poster child for abstinence.
Yes.
And this lady's,
she's up there.
She's up there. She's Miss October. I'm telling you, folks. No. What a mess. All right, we got to take a break here. Now is a great opportunity. Head over, donate for our Radiothon for Alliance Defending Freedom. We're raising all sorts of money this month. $25,000 is our goal. $1,000 gets you an exclusive leather Todd Starnes Show bomber jacket, plus all sorts of other great gifts as well. ToddStarnes.com. Click on the Donate Now button. We'll be right back. Friday night football. University of Memphis playing a Friday night game. That's a little unusual. And then, of course, my Tennessee Volunteers. Tell you what, folks, just leave the mustard at home. That's all I can say. Just leave the mustard at home. Welcome back to the program, folks. Don't forget ToddStarnes.com. You can make a donation to Alliance Defending Freedom, a great way to kick off the weekend. There was a story in the news, a couple of weeks back from Eastern Tennessee, Upperman High School, where the school district came under attack by out-of-town atheists over policies regarding prayer. And so the school district implemented a policy that argues prayer should not be included in school activities, and that included football games. Well, our next guest had a problem with that. He is a member of the Upperman High School football team, and he is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now, Elijah Mullins. Elijah, hope you're doing well today.
Yeah, I am.
Wonderful. And I understand you're calling us from the field house because I suspect you guys have a football game tonight.
Yes, sir. I'm in school at the moment, and I'm getting ready for my football game.
Well, fantastic. Well, we're going to get to that in a second here, Elijah, but I'd love for you to tell us about what happened there with the prayer at the football game.
Well, it was pretty standard. We played our football game, and then afterwards we did something a little different because we weren't able to do what we usually did. So instead of just having the coaches there and us pray, the coaches, I don't know exactly what they did. I'm assuming they left. But the whole team and the cheer squad, all the cheerleaders, the dancers, and a good portion of the parents and the other team met at the 50-yard line, and we prayed there.
Elijah, now you said you guys had done this in the past, but somebody came and they told you not to pray. What were you guys doing in the past that caused controversy?
Praying.
Is that right? And the coaches, were the coaches with you as well?
Yes, sir. The coaches were praying with us, but it was something or another along the lines of it violated their contract, and with the whole school and church being together, like that was a problem.
Elijah, I'm curious to know what you and your teammates. How did you respond when you found out that, you know, you would not be able to pray initially?
We did it anyway.
Good. So you didn't worry about any blowback or any, you know, possible punishments or anything?
No, not really. I mean, personally for me, I mean, I couldn't care less. You know, God for everything.
That is a pretty bold and very courageous stand for a young man like yourself to take. And I'm wondering, you know, about your relationship. Clearly, you're a Christian young man. How important is your faith to you in your life?
Well, like I said, God before everything. For me, I have like a certain list of things, and that's God, family, football. So that's my list of priorities.
Well, those are great priorities, and I think you've got every one of those lined up correctly, Elijah. And on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Elijah Burgess with us from Upperman High School in Tennessee. Elijah, what's been the reaction from your teammates and from the people in the community? Have they been supportive of you guys?
Very. A lot of positivity. I mean, just as of the day, Monday, I got to school a little bit later than I should have, so I had to go check up with our front office, and I had a letter from some lady in Michigan saying congratulations to me and to keep it up.
Oh, that's fantastic. And this image of you guys joining hands on the football field in prayer after that Friday night game, I got to tell you, that I think inspired a lot of people around the nation, Elijah.
I think it did too.
All right, so big game. Who are you guys playing tonight?
Walker Valley.
Walker Valley. Is that over in Bradley County?
I believe so, but it's a home game, so the football game's going to be happening at Upperman High School at 7 o'clock tonight.
All right, 7 o'clock under the Friday night lights there, folks. It's going to be a good game. Elijah, what position do you play?
I'm the starting tight end.
All right. Well, look, best of luck to you, Elijah. You're a good young man. Sounds like you've been raised right, and I know your folks must be super proud of you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Elijah Burgess there, folks, member of the Upperman High School football team. And what a crazy story. The Freedom From Religion Foundation comes in, and they raise a big stink about the football game and the prayers. And so the football players, and I like this guy's attitude. He said, well, we really didn't care one way or the other. If we were going to get in trouble, we were going to get in trouble. But we were going to go out there and do the right thing. And very, very excited that we have young people like that here in the United States of America and right here in the good old volunteer state of Tennessee. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Kamala Harris is back at it. She had a Joe Biden moment just a little while ago. Let's take a listen.
I have a motto. I eat and drink no for breakfast.
All right. Well, that kind of fell flat. Not good. Not good. By the way, how's our Sukkotoa teacher doing? Can we check in with her? Is she still dancing around the classroom?
Sukkotoa, Sukkotoa, Sukkotoa.
Is she saying suck or soak? Grace is hard to... You know, we're terrifying dogs that might be listening to the program.
I don't know what she's saying.
Grace, I'd have been out of that classroom.
Yeah.
I would have gotten out of there. Okay, continuing our creepy hour. So you've got Kamala Harris, you've got Sukkotoa, and now Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez may have a little something-something going with Bernie Sanders. Take a listen to cut number four.
Yes, I talk with Bernie on the phone a decent amount, not just because we're colleagues, but he's legitimately my friend and makes me happy.
Whoa. What? What? No, that's terrible. What? Can we, let's go back and play that again.
I talk with Bernie on the phone a decent amount, not just because we're colleagues, but he's legitimately my friend and makes me happy.
All right, we're not going to judge. I think Bernie is a married man, right? He should be happily married. But AOC, they've got a special relationship together. I think he's old enough to be his, grandfather, her grandfather, you would think. All right, we're going to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, Grace Baker, you know what we ought to do is we ought to open up our phones. And a lot of people have been donating to Allies Defending Freedom, helping us out. And we'd love to hear from you. If you have already made your donation, give us a call and let us know why you've decided to support Alliance Defending Freedom. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Grace, last night at the debate, and we have the video and the photo. I've been accused of photoshopping this, but this is not, this is the real deal. So we posted the video. Last night, Joe Biden flashed the white supremacy sign.
No.
On national television.
But how come I haven't heard about it in any of the news?
Exactly. Every time President Trump or another white person would do the A-OK sign,
canceled.
They're like, racist Hitler. I mean, it's unbelievable. But Joe Biden clears all day, goes out there and flashes the A-OK sign, which is now against the rules. The Anti-Defamation League says that is a white supremacy symbol now. I don't know if there was some sort of a conclave or if it was a vote. I don't remember when that became a racist symbol, but now it is. And you know, NPR, New York Times, everybody did big stories about it. And I linked to those stories as I called out Joe Biden for flashing the white supremacy signal.
Unbelievable. You can't keep up with it all.
No, you can't. I mean, the poor guy, he had to reboot himself a couple of times last night.
Oh, gosh.
It was terrible. You felt bad.
What am I doing here?
I don't know. Hey, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Our good friend Jerry, the liberal from Milwaukee. Hey, Jerry, it's been a while. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I got to disagree with you. It might be surprising. I do agree on one thing with you, Todd. The students have absolutely the right to play as they want in schools. I completely agree with you. But the thing is, in that court case in Tennessee, that was about government and school officials playing or participating in it. The problem is, like, most of your listeners are great with, are okay with Christian coaches or whatever. But if there were Muslim coaches or Satanist coaches leading students in prayer or baptizing people, then I think a lot of your listeners, most of your listeners, probably would disagree, and so would I.
Now, Jerry, I'm going to take you to task here because I'm going to show you how progressive my thinking is on this subject, to borrow a phrase. When I was a kid, my dad got transferred to Louisiana. So we moved from Baptist Tennessee, predominantly Baptist culture in Tennessee, to right outside of New Orleans, which is a predominantly Catholic part of the country. And I noticed, for example, every Friday, and I couldn't figure this out until I asked somebody about it, but every Friday in the school cafeteria, they would serve fish. And I couldn't figure out what is going on. Why do they keep serving fish? And it wasn't even good fish, Jerry. It was like the fish sticks. And so I asked somebody about it, and they said, oh, yeah, most of the kids down here are Catholic, and the Catholics at that time, I don't know, you guys might be able to eat meat now, but at that time, Jerry, the Catholics could not eat meat on Friday. So they serve fish in the public school class. And you know what? Nobody had a problem with it.
It was a little different.
But then, Jerry, there's another story out of Michigan where a public high school, they held football practice at midnight to accommodate the Muslim students, because predominantly the Muslims in that area were on the football team. And for Ramadan, they would hold their football practices at midnight because that's when the fast broke. I don't have a problem with that. Now, that's the predominant culture.
Well, there's a little bit of differences between those things. Both of those first things you told were accommodation. They were regarding accommodation. I don't know if I completely agree with what happened in each one, but they were about accommodation. Coaches leading prayers isn't about combination. That's about promotion on the part of the government. And this is not just prayers. A lot of these things are baptisms held during practices. You know, why are coaches baptizing players while they're getting paid at school? I mean, would people be fine with a Muslim leading students in some kind of baptism or the equivalent? I don't think people should.
But the coaches are not leading the prayers. They're participating. And I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. Look, Jerry, if you're going to let the coach take a knee to protest the flag or the national anthem, what's the problem in letting a football coach take a knee to pray with the team?
Well, one, those are more NFL things, but if it's...
you'd be surprised.
It's not constitutional. So, okay, so you're saying this is just they're not leading it. What about when they're actively baptizing players? That's not just leading or being part of it. That's promoting your religion.
Nobody's getting baptized here, Jerry.
Yeah, that happens. And that's one of the things Freedom From Religion Foundation has had cases with that. Coaches, maybe not in this school, but in other schools.
Again, I don't see the problem there. I mean, it's not the coaches doing it. Many of these schools, the football teams, they would have a chaplain. And they do. And I just don't see the problem here. We're a Judeo-Christian nation, and that is the predominant religion. We are.
No, we're a majority. But the government isn't Christian. That's the thing. Most people are Christian. The government is not a Christian. The government is secular. Anything, it's enlightenment.
John Adams, Jerry, said when you take God out of our founding documents, it's not going to work. Our Constitution is wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. So I hear what you're saying, and I know that...
And other founders said other things about separation.
There's no such thing. Jerry, I've searched the Constitution, you know, high and low. There's no reference to separation of church and state.
Tell me where Christianity or the Bible or Jesus is in the Constitution.
Everything. We are endowed by our Creator, Jerry. Not mankind, but our Creator.
Freedom in the Bible.
Our Creator, Jerry.
Tell me where you could... There's religious freedom in the Constitution. Show me religious freedom in the Bible to worship other than the God
of
the Bible.
That's right, Jerry. The Christian faith is about choice. It's all up to you, Jerry. You can either accept Christ or you can reject Christ. That is your decision to make. No one's forcing you to make that decision. I mean, we would hope that all people would come to a relationship with Christ.
Right. But 500 years ago, I would have been killed if I rejected it.
Not here in America. No. Look, Baptists were. Let me tell you
by religion.
Let me tell you something. The reason why Baptists and Catholics don't get along, because our people were nearly annihilated by Catholics.
Yes.
So, you know, there's some bad
religion in the government.
But you know what? They're not doing it now, not here in America.
Yeah, because religion's not in the government like that.
No, I think it ought to be, and I think that's the big problem. I think we have removed God. No, we have removed God from the public marketplace, and we've got chaos.
I wish we did, but we didn't.
Jerry,
I wish we did more.
You're going to come down to Memphis. I'm going to take you to the church. You're going to love it.
I've been in churches before.
You're going to love it. All right, Jerry, you be good. You take care of yourself, my friend. All right, Jerry the liberal. I like Jerry.
I do too. I think he's very nice.
He's a good guy. Look, what is that noise?
What the heck? Oh, it's our friend.
Oh, that's the secretary teacher. Okay, all right, gotcha. But what I like about Jerry, we were going to get together. We were going to have a big event. We were going to bring Jerry on the show live for all 3 hours. We were going to take him out for dinner. And this was because the DNC was going to be in... was going to be in Milwaukee, and so we were going to do a big thing, and then the Democrats canceled on us because of the China virus.
That's just unfortunate.
It would
have been quite the meeting.
I think it would have been great. So one of these days, we're going to meet up with Jerry the liberal, one of our faves.
Feed him some barbecue.
Look, barbecue, a Baptist church, he'll be set straight in no time.
I mean, how can you not be happy after that?
That's all I'm saying. Hey, folks, again, do not forget, we've got one more week. Next week is our final week of the Alliance Defending Freedom Radiothon. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to have a blast and a chance for you to win some great prizes and really help out an incredible cause. And Alliance Defending Freedom is a great cause. So we want you right now, no matter what you're doing, go to ToddStarnes.com and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. If you give $1,000 today, we're going to hook you up with an exclusive Todd Starnes Show leather bomber jacket. You're going to get every book I've written personally signed and autographed. And we're going to put together a private Zoom call between me and your church, your book club, your political group, whatever. But you got to go right now, ToddStarnes.com, and click on the Donate Now banner. Folks, get out there. Have a great day, America.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.